Log Talk Radio. Where my eating citizens at? Where my eating citizens at? Where you at? Let me see if you hear it like this. Come on, let me hear you, let me hear you. Put your hands together like this. Come on. Here we go.
When God made man, he made a spirit. It was his plan that we didn't match. The tempter came. We were distracted. The tempter came. And we fell. We were deep to live a life that's simple. A life that's full, a life that's rich and simple. It is my goal to remind you of this simple. Will we be a new one, just?
Come on, y'all, let's help sing.
Let's get back to Eden, live on top of the world. Let's get back to Eden, live on top of the world.
Say it again, say it.
Let's get back to Eden, live on top of the world.
Y'all can say it, tell somebody.
Let's get back to Eden, live on top of the world. Well, now it's time.
Now it's time.
We change our thinking.
We change our thinking.
Know our design.
Know our design.
And our Father's plan.
And our Father's plan.
Oh, yes, it's time.
Oh, yes, it's time.
We get back to King.
We get back to King.
Now is the time.
Now is the time.
We take our stand.
We take our stand.
We were deep to live a life that's simple, a life that's full, a life that's rich and simple. It is my goal to remind you of this simple. Will we be a new control?
Where my Eden citizens at? Let me hear you say.
Let's get back to Eden, live on top of the world.
Yes, sing it to somebody.
Let's get back to Eden, live on top of the world.
Tell somebody a thing.
Let's get back to Eden, live on top of the world.
Let me get this.
Let's get back to Eden.
Okay, tell them how
live
you
on
go.
Top of the world.
I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed.
My finance is blessed.
My finance is blessed.
Our mind is sealed.
Our mind is spirit.
And our body's blessed.
And our body's blessed.
We were tempted.
We were tempted.
And we fell,
but guess what?
Jesus came.
Jesus came.
What did he do? What did he do?
Get back to Eden.
Tell somebody, say.
Let's get back to Eden. Live on top of the world.
Oh, you can sing it.
Let's get back to Eden. Live on top of the world.
Everybody, sing it.
Let's get back to
Eden.
Yeah,
right here. Come on, y'all. Let's go, let me go. Eden, where you at?
He wants us on top of the world, not at the bottom of the world, not of the world, but on top of the world. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We're happy to have each and every one of you on. Hallelujah. We're going to begin with a word of prayer. Then we're going to get into this lesson. Hallelujah. Father God, we come with thanksgiving in our heart. Your word says in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning us in Christ Jesus. So I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, that we can give you thanks. We thank you for my early rising, even to this present hour. We thank you, Father God, for every organ, for every tissue that's functioning in our bodies. Like it's supposed to. I thank you, Father God, that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I thank you right now, Father, that we make demands on this body that it line up to the Word of God. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, that by your stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that Jesus bore our sin on the cross in his body. Jesus bore our sickness, and he carried our pain. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father, because he did that. I give no place to sickness. I give no place to disease, because you sent your word to heal us, and I believe it, and I thank you for it, and I praise you for it. Thank you, Father God, for this broadcast. I thank you for those that are listening. Those that have a listening ear, those that will receive your word. Praise you for it. Thank you, Father God, also that will you will let your word flow, your revelated word. And someone hear this, they will go forward in the mighty name of Jesus. And I ask these and all blessings in Christ's name and for his sakes I do pray. Everybody agreed with this prayer, said amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, listen, brothers and sisters, yesterday we left off talking about we are not completing tasks in our life. You done plant a seed, and you got to go back and water it sometime. You got to go back and make sure it's being properly taken care of. And you do that by faith. If you're going to plant a garden in your backyard, for instance, I just want to pick up where we left off yesterday. If you're going to plant a garden in your backyard, you will walk around outside and throw some seed on the ground. No, that ain't how you do it. Not if you want a good crop. You would take the time, clean the place, cultivate it, and boom, you drop that seed in there. Well, you can do the, with the spiritual seed, you do the same thing, brothers and sisters. Sometimes we need to prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, and then we go forth with the seed of the Word of God. You sow it. You don't throw it. And in sowing, that requires some things. You just don't throw it, you sow it. Now, I might need to say that a couple of times till your spirit man hear it. You don't just throw the word of God out there. You have to sow it, which requires other things that you do in life. Praise God. part of watering, that tending to your harvest, that's how the sowing process, making sure things is not cluttered around it. That's all part of the sowing process. And you know, it requires speaking the right words over your seed. And the Spirit led me that we're not doing that. So, Father, today, I'm sowing seeds. For me and for those that have asked me to pray for them, sowing healing seeds, deliverance seeds. And I sow my seed in faith, knowing that the law of seed time and harvest time is always at work, expecting to see a harvest in Jesus' name. Genesis 8:22, we're expecting the Heavenly Father. So I speak to every seed that we've sown, every seed, we speak to it right now and command it to grow. If it hadn't been growing, we command it to grow right now so it can fulfill its task and whatever that is. So on behalf of the people that listen in, I'm going to put myself in agreement with you. And we're going to speak to every seed that's been sown, and we're going to do it by faith. I am taking to you your seed. I'm taking your seed and agreeing with you that the things that you're asking God for, the Bible says the two or more will touch and agree. So we're touching and agreeing. We speak in faith, life over you. I declare the increase, promotion, overflowing, abundance to come to pass. We're speaking it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Seed I have forgotten about. I bless you in the name of the Lord. And I command you to yield to me according to God's word. God measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Luke 6:38. Now let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. That time that people plant seed, they forget about it. It ain't went nowhere. And the sun, the rain, and pretty soon it just might catch root. When you see it struggling like that, do something about it. Go grab it. My mother was good for that. She could grab a plant that looked like it was about halfway dead, and when she'd get through nourishing it, boy, I tell you, that thing would bloom. That's what we're going to have to do with some of the seeds that we planted. I just wanted to finish that because that was important, that your seed produce a harvest for us. So, you can continue to sow and reap of God's perfect economy in the financial areas. Listen, brothers and sisters, keep watering that. Keep, in other words, having faith on it. Keep having faith and trust in the word of God. Keep the confession coming. Keep it alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then the Lord had gave me a word on yesterday, and I'm going to finish it up as well. It was about life support. Hallelujah. Life support. God showed me that's what grace is. Grace is life support. See, when you understand life support, that's what grace is. Grace is our life support. Life support, maybe I just need to talk about that for a moment. Life support is referred to a various kinds of medical stuff that it's like a process that aims to keep someone alive until your body is ready. And that's what, until Christ be formed in you. That's why you got God's grace to keep us alive. Ooh, hallelujah. I'm going to take my time to say this because it's important. God expect Christ to be formed in us. So until Christ be formed in us, we have to live on this life to be formed in us. Meanwhile, I'm going to share a couple other scriptures with you. We are on life support. And this life support is God's grace. Hallelujah. That's what it is. Life support is God's grace. And that's why it's sufficient. See, let me explain something to you guys about life support. Because when you understand why we have life support and what it is and what it means, and then you ask yourself questions. Let me ask a couple questions. Okay, for instance, what does it mean when someone goes on life support? And remember, his grace is sufficient. Like a machine, for instance. It's designed to keep you alive until your body is ready to take over again. So until Christ be formed in you, grace is life support. You're living by the word of God. That's what it's aimed to do. Life is aimed to keep you alive. Keep your body alive. Keep it ready. And yes, there's all kinds of questions. Life support, replace or support a body functioning that's failing. So because we have failed, God gave us his grace and tells us that's sufficient. That'll hold you up. Just like your health care provider may use life support until your body can resume its normal function. See, you gotta remember, we were spirit. We are a spirit. Brothers and sisters, we fell from the spirit world. We didn't fall from the natural world. So we need a life support system to keep us going. That's what we need. And that's what grace does. Mixed with the word of God, let me be clear here. And you may, because you may ask the question, how long can a person be on life support? Well, there's a lot of answers, but I'm going to give you one. There is no rule how long a person can stay on life support. People are getting life support, may continue to use it. I don't know. Today recover, may use it for months, and I've known people to stay on life support for years and to somebody else pull the plug. Weeks and weeks people, and sometimes people stay on life support until they till they don't breathe anymore, you know. Just like a ventilator, that's like a life support machine that helps you breathe. If you can no longer breathe on your own, the machine provides oxygen to your lungs and through the tubes and all that good stuff. I don't want to speak medically. I want to speak about the word of God because that's what it does. It helps us to continue to stay alive in Christ. That's what grace does. Grace helps us to find, you know, and I was looking up some stuff and there was three kinds of life support. And I thought about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Three kinds. The Father will keep you, the Holy Spirit will keep you, and the Son will keep you. Because they work as one. So that's what the grace of God will do. I have made another note about a life support. Is a person still alive on life support? Absolutely. Absolutely. You better believe it. So when they fall, they still live. I mean, many of their organs and system constantly work to keep it healthy. And some functions are critical that they stay alive. There's parts of you, you don't want to die. You want it to stay alive. I'm thinking about the book of Revelation. You know, sometimes people forget who God is. They forget where they fall from. So God said, well, wherever you falling from now, you go back or repent. You go back and do the first work. Well, what is that? Getting in the Word of God. Remember who you are in Christ. I just want to share these things with you all today. The Lord spoke to my heart also on yesterday. And we shared some of that. But the Lord was telling me about some of these pop-ups. You know what pop-up is? You have pop-ups. Pop-up here and a pop-up there. And some of it contain virus. Woo! Preacher. Sometimes we get pop-ups in our lives, and some of them got virus. And God said, you have the power to delete it, but you don't. So it's going to be important that we delete some of these pops up in our life. Because some people, they don't come to you with the Word of God. They just pop ups. That's why when I read 2 Peter 3:10-11, let us know that you're going to have some pop ups in life, but it's what you're going to do about them. That's important. I'll tell you what you're going to do about it. I'm glad you asked me, because you're going to go back to the Word of God. That's exactly what you're going to do, and you're going to make sure. And another word the Lord gave me, too, and we'll get back into the lesson. Another word the Lord gave me, because people are limiting God on the inside of them. You worry about sin. You worried about this, and you won't let God loose in you. God want to live through you. He want to live in you. But you're worried about the wrong thing. When God already fixed the sin problem, God already done fixed the gossiping problem, God done already fixed these other people's mind, you worry about what this one going to say and that one going to say. Because they know that you have a little history or a little past or whatever. The Lord said, don't trouble yourself. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye that believe in God, he said, believe also in me. God said, I got you. Another word God gave me this morning, early, and I got to share this with you. Because, see, man is a spirit. That's first and foremost. Man is a spirit. And I'm going to give y'all the praise report on Evangelist Renee in a little bit, so I want to forget that. But see, man was a spirit when he fell from the eyes of God. He was spiritual. So ever since the beginning of that fall, God have told me that we need to be in alignment with him. I said, what? So I had to see what he was really talking about. So to be in alignment with him is to be in agreement with his word. The act of being aligning, or the state of being aligned, is making sure that everything is in a proper place. Any kind of adjustment, like, and I think about a car, how the car has to be positioned. Sometimes you got to take it to the mechanic to get it in alignment. So your wheels, one ain't going one way, the other. I don't know if you ever seen a car going down the road, look like it's kind of crooked. The tires is out of alignment. You might have had a car that was out of alignment. And it needs to form a straight line. And that line needs to be in alignment with the word of God. And God said, you tell my people, that is my plan. That's why we'll have to get eternal life. That's why we got to preach about eternal life. That's getting in alignment with him. First of all, because God is a spirit. So you have to get your spirit in line with his spirit. How can two men walk together unless they agree? You got to be in agreement with him. That's another reason you want to repent. I wasn't going to take you to Acts because, see, those people weren't in alignment. And Peter told them, said, hey, every one of y'all need to get baptized. First he said, repent, and then be baptized in Acts 2. He said, repent. Stop doing it your way, and let's do it God's way. And God wants you to be baptized. And every one of you. So that was getting the people in alignment. And that's what God's doing. He's getting us in alignment. Alignment is the way, it is really the way to keep you properly tuned in the Lord, for a better way of saying it. You arrange your lifestyle so you'll be one with God. It's all about being in alignment. And when I thought about that, boy, a whole lot of things went across my head, like, are you in order with God? Are you really in order? Have you lined yourself up with God, or are you lining yourself up with the world way of doing things? See, a lot of us haven't really thought about it, but I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, if you're not aligned with the word of God, why do you think he said in John 15:7, abide in me and I abide in you? My word abide in you. Why do you think we're the, he's a branch and we're the branch and he's the vine? Why? Because he wants us to be in alignment with him. Because the same blood that runs through Christ runs through us. That's why we identify with him. That's why we be crucified with him. Because we're in alignment with him now. We're in alignment with the word of God, brothers and sisters. God is ordering your steps. Can I say that? That's for somebody right now. You've been going here, there, and you're not sure. God is ordering your step. And when you get in alignment with him, he's going to show you. It's prioritizing things. That's what alignment is. It's prioritizing things. It's like a layout. It's a design. It's like a pattern. You know, like these different sequences of your life. Because he wants you to be in alignment with him, bless God. That's what this is all about. God wants you to stay in alignment with him. He's arranging this stuff for us to walk in, okay? And our lesson, we didn't really get into a lot this week. God, we're in line with the word of God, so, hey, whatever the Lord has for us, that's what we're doing. You know what Jesus said over in John 8:29? Man, I think about this. This is just mind-blowing. Jesus stayed in alignment with the Father. He said this. I mean, if you can recall the scripture in John 8:29, Jesus said, for I do always those things that pleases him. He wanted to stay in alignment with the Father. He didn't want to get out of his will. He didn't want to get out of that space. He wanted to stay in alignment. That that ought to want to make you happy to know, boy, this thing is right now. I can go down the road and take my hand off the steering wheel because it's in alignment. You're in alignment with the Lord. You see, he has done a perfect work for us and in us through that great substitutionary work. God is working in us. He's working in you. All we have to do is accept what he's already done. Don't let your head fool you, well, you got to do this. No, you don't do anything. The doing is all about what God does, not what we do, but it's what he does. If we'll accept that. I'm going to tell you, brother and sister, we become beautiful to him because of his nature began to grow in us. That's what's going on. Once your nature changes and you start accepting God's will, you become like God now. His nature is in you. You are abiding. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. God is aligning us. How he doing it, you ask? Through his grace. And I want to tell you, the Bible says he's able to make all grace abound. That's what he uses. He uses grace. Anything come against you, grace stands up. Anything is not what it ought to be, grace stands up. That's God's unmerited favor. Yeah, we know, and we all get it, that, well, I'm not good enough. Man, forget that. You're God's masterpiece. Got a little dirt on you, but you're God's masterpiece because you got a heart for God. See, if you got a heart for God, God don't really care about that other garbage. That's why he gave you Jesus to take care of the sin problem. Now, so just look at it like this. The sin problem done away with. Now what excuse you got for not obeying him? What excuse? There is none. See? You don't have any now. Bless God. Because you're aligned with the word of God. When you get in that word and that word get in you, you just had an alignment done. I'm going to put it to you that way. You just had an alignment done, and you know when it's in you. Anybody ever had a car that was out of line, and you took it, and you got an alignment done? And boy, that thing goes straight. I tell you, when you allow God's grace to work in your life, and you stop trying to do the thing and let God do it for you, it is God who is at work in us, and not we ourselves. It is God. One more scripture I want to bring to you. But I just think about how God used his grace to align people. I mean, even with Noah, the Bible says God found grace there. He used grace to align Noah. He used grace for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Oh, I got paper for you now. He used grace for Abraham. Matter of fact, he used grace for Moses. And the list go on and on and on. And let me tell you right now, he's using grace for you and for you and for me. So if grace is true and it works, then don't worry about the other stuff. Stay in line. And there's the key right there. How do you stay in line? You stay in line through his word, man. Then you begin to see supernatural things. I told somebody the other day, I see miracles all the time. Well, how are you experiencing miracles? I said, I experience miracle all the time. And I can show you how to experience miracles and signs and wonders follow. I can show you. It ain't hard. If you're spiritual minded, do you want to see the supernatural things in life? Get in alignment with the word of God. The word of God says, in these hands, These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. Well, then, see, when you're in alignment, you're finna see a miracle. Because you're going to see, when somebody gets saved, that's a miracle. They just got wiped out of Satan's hand. Well, I'm not sure. You don't have to be. If they confess that Jesus is their Lord and they're leaving that world behind, they say, and ain't nothing you can do about it. And then you can add to. I like something I heard, and the Spirit spoke this to me. Cause I'm going through the Word of God, and I'm saying, well, Lord, what about this? And Lord, but this? And Lord, how about that? The Lord told me, said, it's not up for discussion. Woo! Man, when the Holy Ghost tells you something like that, you just shut your mouth. It's not even up for discussion. When God say lay hands on the sick, it doesn't matter what you think, feel, or anything else. It's not even a matter of discussion. It's not up for discussion. It's not up for debate. It's up for you to lay your hands on that person. Then you began to see miracles with signs following. You began to see the supernatural. You began to, if people just become obedient, they began to see the world out of a different eye, for a better way of saying it. Supernatural people world over desire of, let me tell you what, people want to experience miracles. People want to see miracles. And guess what? You got it on the inside of you. Because you got God on the inside of you. So if God is on the inside of you, they can see miracles. A lot of us are gems. You're a pearl, and you don't even know it. Because Satan ain't going to let you see that light. He ain't going to let you see you're a gem. You're a gem. You're rare. It ain't too many like you. You can tell yourself that ain't too many like me. God chose you. He chose you. Yeah. So sometimes God wants to go beyond our expectation. He wants to go beyond our highs. He wants to surpass all of that negativity. Because he put us beyond the natural realm. He put us in Christ. As born-again believers, and I'm about to go, as born-again believers, that is not where we are meant to reside, is under Satan. We meant to reside on the top of the world. We're meant to be back into Eden. God's whole process here is getting us aligning with him. The alignment, getting up in that perfect position. So that's why I one time I taught a seminar on repositioning yourself. Sometimes you just got to reposition. And the reason you're doing that, so you can be in alignment, man. A lot of times alignment on a vehicle, just a matter of a few tightening of the wrenches, a few twisting of a bolt. Get you back in line. Don't take a whole line. It's repositioning. That's what an alignment is. It's repositioning when you've gotten out of line. So we've been out of line. And let me tell you what really puts you in line is the love of God. We've come to know and believe the love which God has for us, according to John 1:16. Do you need a real miracle today? Love is the answer. Thinking money is the answer. No, brothers and sisters. Healing is the answer. Deliverance is the answer. But those are just the manifestation of the real power behind every miracle. And every miracle has to be love. It has to be motivated by love. See, the Bible says, see, it's just so many things going in me. You see, you will never walk in the realm of the miraculous until you understand the love of God for you and for all people we were not just talking about in love, but the love, because God is love. God ain't trying to love. God don't give me. No, he is love. It's a big difference when you're loving somebody and that's what you are. That's what he is. He doesn't have to love. He is love. Let me say that one more time. He doesn't have to, well, y'all, we got to love everybody. No, God is love. He doesn't have to love. He is love. 1 John 4:16 says, and we have known and believed the love of God has for us. How we know that? Because God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Yeah, that's the way that works. You got to live in that. You have to abide in that. You have to set up residence in that. You drive your stakes in love and say, I ain't going nowhere. Did you notice also in that verse, it says, we have known and believed the love? To believe is to have faith in love. Most Christians don't have faith in his love. If you were so to ask, say, them, if God loved them, most would say yes, but they don't really believe it. They just mentally agree with that statement over in John 3:16. God's love was for eternal life, and our job is to get eternally ready. Our job is to get our friends and family members eternally ready. That's why you got to go ye therefore into all the world and get them eternally ready. Not church ready now. See, a lot of folks church ready. Don't get them church ready. Don't get them hooping ready. Don't get them hollering ready. Don't get them emotionally ready. Now, they're already that. Got to show them how to get eternally ready. And how are we going to do that? By explaining to them the importance of developing their faith in God's love. Because that's what he did. Remember John 3:16? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Well, Lord, why did you do that? So you could have eternal life. So we can develop a person's faith in God's love or in anything else from God. You have learned what the word says about it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you have to say it over and over and over until Romans 10:17 become a reality. You just say it and say it and say it and say it. About like that guy said, he said, man, I'm going to pray to God answer me. The guy said, well, you might get hoarse. He said, so be it. I'm going to pray until God answer me. And I thought about that. I said, you know what? That might be a good thing. Keep praying till God answer you. Be like that widow woman. She didn't give up. Don't you give up. You make yourself alignment with the word of God. It's a wrap. Okay, we're at that point where if anybody have any comments, any word you want to share, anything along those nature, press 1 and we'll let you in. I want to give a praise report for you guys. Get going. I know about y'all know about Evangelist Lori on yesterday. But yesterday, Sister Evangelist Renee called me. And she didn't text me. She called me on the church phone. But anyway, not church phone, the minister phone. But she called me. And she told me that she was healed. Well, my spirit just jumped. It leaped when she said that. She said, Pastor, my butt is healed. I'm going to tell y'all just what she told me. She said, my butt is healed. She said, my foot is healed. She said, my foot is healed so until calluses then growed up on there. I said, like corn and calluses? She said, yeah. Do y'all realize that just last year that was white meat? That was white meat, man. And here, her skin and grow back. So now it's supporting calluses and corns and like her fruit, almost like a garden, corns and bunions and stuff. She said, I'm healed, Pastor. I said, honey, you better be. She said, I can't be on that tomorrow because I got a therapist or something. She said, she had to do. But anyway, long story short, I said, well, I hate to steal your thunder, but I got to report that. I have to report that. I don't even have a choice in the matter. I got to tell people. She said, go ahead. Because she said, when I do get there, I'm going to tell it too. So I just start shouting, man, and rejoicing. Because she realized everything about her being healed now. Hallelujah. Anybody? Okay. Pastor Bill.
Uh-oh. Afternoon, everyone. I enjoyed what I heard, Pastor. And yes, that praise report for Evangelist Renee. Let us know God is good. And she's dealing with another issue, but that's being healed too. And we just give God the praise. It was a scripture that you had mentioned. I think it was in John. Let me get there. I'm reading it from God's Word, John 8 and verse 29. It said, besides the one who sent me is with me, he hasn't left me by myself. I always do what pleases him. So we thank God that Jesus didn't leave us, and he's with us even today. And God bless.
No, amen. Thank you so much. Yeah, John 8:29, Jesus said, for I do always the things that is pleasing to him. That should be our testimony. Knowing that, hey, when I see it in the Word of God, I do it. That should be our testimony. Yeah, it has to be. I'm always pleasing God. I don't care what the other folks doing. Don't bother me. Don't have nothing to do with me. What they doing have nothing, zero to do with me. My face is like a flint. I'm looking dead at the Lord. Because I always do what he say. That's how Jesus is saying here in John 8. I always do what my daddy say. Anybody got any children? Don't it make you feel good? Don't it make you have positive vibes? When you know you got a child going to always do what you say, even if it's wrong, they do it. That's powerful, man. Okay, anyone else? Hallelujah. Any other praise report? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay. Praise God. Thank you so much, Pastor, for your input. And I'll see you guys on...